Would please open your Bibles to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, we're going to begin in the 26th verse of Luke chapter 1. Luke 1, beginning in verse 26, this is God's word. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father Zechariah, but his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately, his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel. because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This is a beautiful story. This is the truth. There are people who want to suggest that, well, yes, it's a beautiful story, but, you know, I mean, come on. Seriously. You don't really believe in the virgin birth, do you? There are people who, in the last two decades, have called themselves evangelical and yet said, you know, we don't need to be trying to convince people that the virgin birth happened. I mean, that's not something we have to insist upon. That's hard for modern people to believe. I'm trying to think of a kind word that I can use to describe those sorts of people. Because if they were to read the Bible, they would notice that, for instance, in Matthew's gospel, when he heard that Mary was still a virgin, but she was pregnant, he didn't believe it. People in Jesus' day, like, for instance, Mary, found this utterly astounding and miraculous, unprecedented. Notice what she says when the angel appears to her. How will this be, verse 34, since I am a virgin? Now, why'd she ask that question? Well, in case you didn't know it already, in order for a baby to be born, you've got to have what the male contributes and what the female contributes. Each of them provides half of the DNA that is necessary to make a child. And so you've got the egg and the sperm, and they come together inside the woman, and a child is conceived and grows and is born. That's how it happens nowadays. That's how it happened in Jesus' day. That's how it happened in the Old Testament, all the way back in the book of Genesis. From the start, Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore a son. That's the way it works. So the idea that somehow now we have become too intelligent and educated and sophisticated to believe this miracle is ignorant, stupid, and wicked. Those are three nice words. Ignorant, because they're obviously not paying attention to facts. It is stupid, because if they used logic when they look at the facts, they would be able to see that their argument is utterly empty. And it is wicked, because God has spoken. And what happened in the New Testament is the fulfillment of the promises in the Old Testament. And that is emphasized in Mary's response, in Elizabeth's response, in Zechariah's response. All of them, when talking about the birth of the Lord, point out the fact this is the fulfillment of God's promise. This is the fulfillment of God's promise. This is the fulfillment of God's promise. And furthermore, they emphasize in their expressions of praise that this is the Lord's mercy. This is not some human achievement. We came up with a way to do this. No, this is the Lord's mercy. Because you see, no normal human child could save us. None. I would like to think that in my adulthood, I've become a generous person. God's still working on me. But I can tell you that when I was 2 years old, my favorite word was mine. Remember, I've told you, they called me the little German. Because mine, that's a German word, isn't it? But I walked around the house saying, mine toy, mine shoes, mine whatever it was I was interested in the moment. I was obsessed with what was mine. Well, why were you like that? Because I was a sinner. Because I inherited a sin nature from my parents. I thought your parents were wonderful, godly people. They were. But that was the work of God's grace in them. They started out the way that all of us start out, dead in trespasses and sin. Nobody had to teach you how to sin. Your parents didn't sit you down when you were little and say, okay, today's lesson is about how to be selfish. It just came naturally. Nobody had to sit you down and say, okay, today we're going to practice lying. It just came naturally. You and I, typical human beings, are the same as other people in other lands throughout history. We are by nature sinful people. And that's why no ordinary human could be the perfect Lamb of God. But God had promised through the prophet Isaiah that a virgin would conceive and bear a child. And the reason that's important is because Jesus didn't inherit a sin nature. Jesus was born sinless. What about Mary? In order for him not to be sinful, didn't she have to be sinless too? I actually had an irate radio listener who wrote to me to insist that in order for Jesus to be sinless, Mary had to be sinless also. And so I responded by asking, what about Mary's parents? They dropped the argument. You see, Mary was not sinless. She was blameless. She was godly. She was one who found favor in the eyes of the Lord and is an example to us of how to respond to God's word. Whereas Zechariah had responded by saying, how can I be sure of this? That was his response to the angel's proclamation of God's word. He said, how can I be sure of this? Back in verse 18. Mary responds in verse 34, how will this be? She didn't say, how can I be sure this is going to happen? She said, okay, I accept what you're going to say about what's going to happen, but can you please explain to me how this is going to happen? Because I'm a virgin. I've never had relations with a man. And therefore, how can I possibly conceive a child without having relations with a man. She was engaged to be married to Joseph. She was saving herself for marriage, which is what you're supposed to do. She was doing the right thing, and now the Lord comes through this angel and says, you're blessed, and you're going to have a baby, and he's going to be the Son of God. And Mary's response was not, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, this is great. I'm going to be the mother of the Messiah. This is tremendous. This is absolutely wonderful. That isn't her response. She'd just been told something that was, on the one hand, wonderful news, and on the other hand, unbelievable. When she tells Joseph, he doesn't believe her. Would you? He doesn't believe her. She's saying, God told me that out of all the women on earth in all of human history, I'm going to be the one who carries and gives birth to the promised Messiah. And so I've miraculously conceived a child. I've been totally faithful to you, Joseph. I haven't been intimate with any man, including you. But I'm going to have a baby. Joseph says, I don't believe you. And we read in Matthew's gospel that he was going to break off the engagement, divorcing her, putting her away privately, and doing so in order to try and spare her because she could have been stoned. But you see, here I'm referring to what's told in Matthew's gospel. An angel appeared to Joseph also in a dream and said, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.
Well, okay. So you're saying, Pastor, that this really happened. I mean, this is really true. There really are angels, and Mary really was a virgin, and God really is Jesus' father.
Yeah. And the reason I'm saying that is because that's very clearly and unambiguously what God's word tells us.
How do you know God's word is true?
That's a subject for a whole nother time, but let me just tell you, I've got plenty of reasons. There is such ample, solid evidence for the trustworthiness of Scripture. And as I have walked with God for decades and really gotten to know Him, what's been confirmed over and over and over and over and over and over and over is that God doesn't lie. If my wife tells me something, I know she's not pranking me. If my wife tells me something, I know that she believes it. Now, is it possible that my wife could be mistaken? Yeah, she's human. So am I. I made reference the other day in my message to the prophet Elijah, when it was the prophet Elisha. I wasn't trying to deceive you. I'm simply getting old, and I misspoke. I said it was Elijah, it was Elisha, and it wasn't one of y'all or my wife who corrected me, nor some person who was watching on the internet. It was the Holy Spirit. And I went and looked to be sure, and yeah, I'd said Elijah, and it was Elisha, and I was wrong. Now, did I lie to you? No. Did I say something that wasn't true? Yes. Do you even remember what I'm talking about? Probably not. But unlike me, and unlike my wife, who both seek to be honest but are capable of error, God is true. God always speaks truth. And God's word is absolutely true. And again, I remind you that all through this passage,
What is stated is that this was the fulfillment of what God had promised. Look at Mary's song. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Mary needed saving too. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. She didn't say, holy is my name. She said, I'll be called blessed, but he's the one who is holy. His mercy extends to those who fear him. Who needs mercy? Us sinners. We do. But it's his mercy that extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. What's the conclusion of her song of praise? All of this wonderful blessing is the fulfillment of God's promise. God tells the truth. He keeps his word. What does Zechariah say? Verse 68, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. This is what God promised. God does what he promises. And I'll tell you, over and over and over and over and over, we have seen God keep his word, do as he said. If you look at the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled, being born of a virgin, being born in Bethlehem, the way that he lived, the things that he did, the death that he died, the fact that he rose again from the dead, it becomes unmistakable to anybody who's willing to honestly look at it that he is the Messiah. He is the one who was promised generations before. And his life fulfills in detail. In detail, the promises of God. Now, a few other observations in this passage. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth. Nazareth was, I'm trying to think of a place I could describe. We are so politically correct today that it's not okay for us to describe some place as being just, as one of Jesus' eventual followers said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Yeah, I mean, it was a derogatory term to describe someone as being from Nazareth. If you said they're from Nazareth, that was a little like saying hillbilly, redneck, or something else that is not kind. Cracker, you know, I mean, it's just, it was, if you were from there, that was embarrassing, okay? That's where Mary was. That's where Joseph lived. That's where Jesus would grow up. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. Both Mary and Joseph were descended from David. And you get Mary's lineage in Luke's gospel. You get Matthew's account giving us the lineage of Joseph. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. And she said, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. No, She was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." You remember what he said to Zechariah? Do not be afraid. What did we say about that? Angels repeatedly say when they appear to people, do not be afraid. Why? Because when an angel shows up, it's often terrifying. Do not be afraid. You've found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. Once again, God does the naming, and the reason is because he's in charge. This is special. This is extraordinary. So, the name Jesus is our anglicized version of the Latin version of a Hebrew name, Yeshua. Now, normally, when the name Yeshua appears, it is translated in the Old Testament as Joshua. That's the way we modernize Yeshua when we're talking about Joshua. But that's the name, and it means something. It refers to him as Savior. It's about his being the Savior. Well, so was Joshua a Savior? Yeah. But he wasn't the Savior. Jesus had a name. It wasn't like he was the only boy in the town who could ever be named that. Nowadays, I see sometimes on someone's business card, Jesus. And when I see that, because I'm so used to this, I think, this guy's name is Jesus? And then I realize, no. This person is Hispanic, and their name is Jesus, which is the same thing. Okay? Jesus was given the name we call Jesus. Is it legitimate to call him Jesus when really we should be saying Yeshua? Well, most of us don't speak Hebrew, and so yes, it's okay to use the name in our language today, but it is good to know what it means, and it means that he's the Savior. So, God says through the angel that he is to be given the name Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. Now let me tell you, as I said a few moments ago, God keeps his promises. The angel didn't say, we hope he's going to grow up to be great. The angel didn't say, there's a real chance that he may inherit the throne. This is what God says would happen. And when Jesus met with his disciples before his ascension, he told them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. We go out representing someone who is not running for office. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Please remember that. Yes, there's spiritual warfare. Yes, we have an ongoing battle in this life. But folks, the outcome has already been decided. Jesus is victor. He is Lord. He has conquered. It is done. It just isn't evident yet everywhere. Now, verse 37, nothing is impossible with God. The angel tells Mary about her relative who was barren, not able to have children. And Mary's now told she's in her sixth month. That's what the reference in verse 26 was about. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel. It was the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. And so Mary got ready, and she hurried to the town in the hill country of Judea, and where she entered Zechariah's home, and she greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. Why? God had already said that that child, even from the womb, would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that child, by the Holy Spirit, recognized the Holy Spirit having placed Jesus in the womb of Mary. And so even though these kids couldn't see each other yet, physically, the Holy Spirit knows what's going on. The Holy Spirit knows right now what's going on in you. Your thoughts, your behaviors. You may fool people, but you're not going to fool God. And it was the Holy Spirit in John the Baptist recognizing the presence of his Savior, his Lord, that caused the baby to leap in his mother's womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit at this point. The Holy Spirit came on her in power. She's filled with the Spirit, and she begins to speak prophetically, and she says things that humanly she wouldn't have known yet. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who what? Who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. You see, Mary's response to the angelic message was, how is this going to be? How's this going to happen? Not, I'm not sure I believe that. How can I be sure that this is going to happen? That isn't what she said. That was what Zechariah said. How can I be sure? Mary said, how's this going to happen? God doesn't mind our questions as long as they are an expression of our trust in him, wanting to know more, wanting to learn, wanting to go deeper. Don't be afraid to ask questions, but don't put yourself in the position of judge where God's going to have to prove it to you. If you have that attitude, you're asking for an unhappy showdown. I've seen it happen. And I'm telling you, God is merciful. If he weren't, none of us would be here. But the questions that we ask should be those of wanting to know more, not wanting to know more before we decide if we're going to obey. Mary had responded to the Lord, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Elizabeth said, blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. And Mary begins to worship the Lord. Now, verse 57. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son, and the neighbors and relatives gathered and came on the eighth day to circumcise the child. And they were going to name him after his father Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, no, he's to be called John. They said, well, there's none of your relatives who has that name. Where would you get that name? Where did they get that name? They got it from God. God is the one who had a plan for this child's life. And so, when his father is asked, and I actually think this is humorous because there's nothing in the text that says that Zechariah couldn't hear. It was that he couldn't speak. And so he's been making signs, and so now people, when they have a question for him, they're making signs to him as if he can't hear. Okay? But they're making signs to him asking, what do you think we ought to name? What would you like to name the child? And so he asked for a writing tablet so there'd be no confusion. He's not going to try and make signs. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment wrote, his name is John. You see, he'd already been named before he was born. He had already been named before he was conceived. God knows everything about us from the beginning of time. Immediately his mouth was opened, his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. Notice, he began to speak, not saying, boy, this has been rough. Over 9 months, not able to talk. No. When his tongue is loosed and he's able to speak, what comes forth is what was already in his heart. Praise and worship to God. Let me ask you, if you couldn't say anything for over 9 months, what would be in your heart? Complaint or praise? He praised God. And Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. God keeps his word. The miracles are true. God is still doing amazing things. And everything that he has said will happen in the future is still going to happen. God hasn't changed his mind. And as we said previously, when Zechariah didn't believe the word, he was skeptical about it, the angel didn't say, okay, well, I guess you're the wrong guy. I'll have to go back and ask God who he wants to work through now because you didn't believe. No. He said, God's still going to do what he said. The word that's been spoken is true. Because you didn't believe it, you're going to have some negative consequences, but they're temporary, and you'll learn. And that's what happened. I want you to understand, if you will trust God and believe his word, you will see in your own life, time and again, that God's will for you is good and acceptable and perfect. Trust and obey. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that we have your word and that it is completely reliable because you are completely trustworthy. Thank you that you do keep your promises. Thank you that you love us magnificently and that you show mercy to us and that that's why you sent Jesus. It was to save us. We thank you. And we pray now that you would use us this day to honor you. Apart from you, we can do nothing. But we can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives us strength. So it's in his name we pray. Amen.